Oh, I'm not doing it again.
Okay, well, kick in where you're at.
That attitude kicks the grace in. That's a good place. Just kick the grace in right now. So we are to do nothing without the grace of God. We're to lean heavily upon it, and it will literally carry you. Let's read the Faith Hall of Fame. We'll hit some highlights. This is Hebrews 11. The title of this is Great Grace Was Upon Them All. And it's Sunday morning, 7:12:20. We've missed some of this teaching, but it's okay. We'll get the point here. We're talking about grace. That it's not about our own empowerment, but by the grace of God that we are what we are. Hebrews 11. We see, starting in verse 4, by faith Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent service, sacrificing Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His blood cried out from the ground. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. It's grace by faith. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard faith and patience are the power twins, but grace. Yeah. By faith, Noah, warned of the things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for inheritance, obeyed and went, not knowing whether he went. Sarah had a baby at 90, Abraham at 100. All these acts that they did here was all by grace. New Testament, Old Testament. Isaac, he pronounced blessings upon his children by grace. Joseph, he did the same thing. Carry my bones out of this place. By grace. These men lived by grace. Moses, by grace. Led the children of Israel out. Jericho fell by the grace of God. Verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith have sued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So by grace, they were able to stay with God and see what God had for them to do through Old Covenant and New Covenant. All right, they did it all by grace and faith. Grace is one of the main ingredients of your faith, besides love, of course. But how many will say they agree today that they need grace to have love also? Lord, I need your grace to love that person. To let the love of God come out of me. And not to say something that's not nice. The perfect walk of grace to me is Psalms 23. To me, Psalms 23 is like a complete security package for the believer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's grace right there for everything, every need. Paul learned this, and so he exhorted us with these words. This is 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And the Lord just quickened something to me. Don't care what people think about you or what you say. The laugh's on them. Don't. It's like the Lord was saying, put aside all of that and just get to work. Get to work doing, listening to my voice and doing what I've asked you to do. Going and waking people up as He leads you. Divine appointments. That's what it did in Acts. Look at Philip. He met the eunuch. Got up in the chariot with him, explained to him the scriptures. He got born again. He baptized him. And then he was carried away. Translated to another place. Just went on about doing the master's business. Paul could not take the credit, even though he did a lot of works. You know, I don't know a Christian that doesn't want to see the glory of God, but they don't understand. You got to be about doing His business and obeying Him to see the glory of God. It's not an arena we show up and put on a big exhibition of God's works. This isn't Hollywood. As we obey and as we go, it's just like when we confess and we're speaking over the government changes and the things the Lord said, God kicks in and works with us. When we get in line with the way He does things, His power shows up. When we start going about the Master's business, making ourselves available, the power of God kicks in. The grace of God kicks in. You're just learning, yearning for the glory, but you don't ever do anything. You don't ever obey and don't. It's not going to show up. Like I said, it's not a sideshow. This isn't worshiptainment. This is what's going to set the real church apart. They're going to see the glory of God in manifestation. So why do we struggle so? Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Remember, Urkel used to get up and sing that in that squeaky voice. Feelings, nasal feelings. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. It hurts. It's hard. The most important, though, is at the end of the day, is that if we do not bail, and we will not fail. If you don't bail, you won't fail. We did not give in to how we felt, but we stood strong and kept walking by faith and calling on the grace, and the grace saw us through. Like Paul in the two-week hurricane, they hadn't eaten in 14 days. The angel came and said, Paul, take heart. I'm with you, and I'm going to save all those on the ship because you must stand before Caesar. So what happens? Shipwreck. Here they are, hungry, cold, wet, exhausted. He swims to the shore. He leans over to get a little warmth, just a little comfort. And the viper comes out of the heat and fastens on his hand. He just shakes it off. Grace. Isaiah 43:2. There's a lot of snakes out there today that we need to shake them off. 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to walk on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We are at different times right now in our world, or difficult times. In our world, in our nation, even personally, We cannot forget that God is with us, in us, for us, and His grace never runs low. And most important, He will never leave us without it. Someday soon, we will look back and say, His grace was sufficient. All right, Romans 5:17. This is our mission statement. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. One more scripture here, James chapter 4.
Read verse 2, chapter 5.
What?
Romans 5, verse 2.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I told you I couldn't get to all of the great scriptures, but got a good variety. James 4, 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I read that while ago. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What's he saying to us in this? We have to realize that it's not in anything that we do, but it's all in the grace of God. Okay. I regret we didn't get all of that, but anyway.